Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ashapura Minechem Limited Q1 and FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chetan Shah, Promoter and Director of the company. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hello, friends. Good afternoon and welcome to the fifth earnings call of Ashapura Minechem Limited. With me in the call, we have involved Manan Shah, Ashish Desai, the Group CFO, Sachin Polke, Company Secretary, and our Investor Relations team, Adfactors. The quarter has been a period of resilience for the company as we navigated a challenging and uncertain environment due to geopolitical uncertainty, high fuel prices, and abnormal ocean freight. At the same time, customers' demand also remained volatile. I feel the customers may take some time to digest the market and the cost factors. The abnormal increase in the ocean freight is also pushing our landed costs upwards. As always, we will take you through the key developments across our Guinea and India business during the quarter. So first, let me speak to you about the business in Guinea. In the quarter one, our bauxite volume stood to 2.34 million tons compared with 3.16 million tons in quarter four and 2.05 million tons in the quarter one of last financial year. EBITDA per ton improved to 6.3 per ton from 5.9 per ton in Q4. The freight rates remains highly volatile given the current geopolitical environments. We expect this volatility to continue across 2027. We will continue to closely monitor the situation and try to reduce the impact on profitability through operational and logistic effectiveness. While alumina prices are currently under pressure, we remain positive on the medium to long-term demand outlook. Several new refineries are coming on stream, including the four new refineries in China, which are expected to create additional bauxite demand of around 20 to 30 million tons over the above current volumes. This should provide a strong underlying the demand driver for the bauxite going forward. We expect the market price to gradually improve over the coming quarters as inventory level in China normalize. At the same time, we expect the underlying the demand to remain stable and potentially improve further as geopolitical conditions stabilize. As discussed in our last earning call, the government of Guinea is expected to implement a quota system for the bauxite export. We believe this could be introduced in the near terms and certainly before end of this year. We expect such rationalization of the export volume to be positive for the global bauxite prices and the potentially lead to reduction in the freight cost. Overall, we see this as a positive development for Ashapura once the system is formally implemented. There are few strategic initiatives has been taken by the group. Our Bofa port is now fully operational, with its capacity enhanced from the 5 million tons to 8 million tons per annum. At GSM, the second port, the new jetty is currently under construction and expected to be operational by Q4 of this financial year, increasing capacity from 6 million tons to 10 million tons per annum. With these developments, our combined port capacity will reach to approximately 23 million tons, providing us with the infrastructure to support the maximized volume growth and sales over the medium terms. Going back to the other initiatives, the bauxite washing plant is already set up. The capacity is about 20,000 tons per day. And this washing plant will enhance our resource and will give us the more flexibility to increase our volume for the export. And this will improve some of the low-grade bauxite to the high-grade bauxite, which can be easily marketable. Let us acknowledge that there is some pressure on EBITDA margin in the short term. However, we remain optimistic about the future outlook. Despite the near-term challenges, we remain confident to achieve our full-year target with a potential variation of plus or minus 10%. Coming back to iron ore, we are working on commercializing our iron ore assets. However, status remains the same as previous quarters. We will still require a couple of quarters to offer any long-term direction. We remain confident in our ability to achieve or even cross our guidance of 15 million tons by financial year 28. We continue to work on our initiatives to increase our volumes, improve operational efficiencies, reduce cost, and enhance the profitability of our bauxite business. Things are progressing well, and we remain confident on our business ongoing forward. Coming back to the India operations, I ask Manan to give you a more better idea how the things are taking place in Indian operations. And then Mr. Ashish Desai will brief you about all the financial numbers, etc. Thank you very much for your patience hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, Dad. Now, coming to our India business, just to recap, our India business has a diversified portfolio of value-added mineral-based products serving wide range of core industries including metals, foundries, oil and gas, edible oils, petrochemicals, paint and coatings, constructions, automobiles and several other industrial applications. The business operates across three verticals, bentonite and allied minerals and white performance minerals, which are our wholly owned businesses, specialty absorbent solutions or our bleaching clay business, operated through our 50% joint venture, Ashapura Perfo Clay Limited, and advanced ceramic materials through our 32% investment in Orient Ceratech Limited. Our India businesses continue to perform well across the three verticals. However, this quarter was impacted by several external headwinds arising from ongoing geopolitical situation, which resulted in higher fuel costs, freight rates, and raw material prices. Given the logistics intensive nature of our operations, the increase in fuel and transportation costs has had an impact on margins. Profitability was also affected by higher input costs and changes in product mix. Our customer base in Middle East and Europe has been impacted by the current political and freight environment. We believe freight conditions need to stabilize for demand and volumes in these markets to normalize. In the interim, we are increasing our focus on India, Asia and Africa, where the supply chain environment remains relatively manageable. Within our portfolio, bentonite and allied minerals has remained broadly stable. Exports were impacted by elevated freight costs. However, growth in domestic market has helped us to remain close to previous year's top line. White performance minerals continues to perform well, although profitability was impacted by higher sales and distribution expenses. Our bleaching clay business faced significant cost pressure during the quarter, with sulfuric acid prices increasing fivefold over the past year and currently standing above 30 rupees a kg. As sulfuric acid is a key raw material for this business, this sharp increase has adversely impacted our business. On other hand, our advanced ceramic materials business delivered encouraging growth in profitability, supported by change in sales mix with a higher proportion realized from our premium products. Despite these near-term challenges, we remain focused on improving operational efficiencies and strengthening our product portfolio. As highlighted previously, a key focus area is the development and commercialization of new products across our India businesses, particularly within our bentonite and allied minerals and white performance materials. We are working extensively on expanding our product basket and increasing our offerings in higher value applications. As stated previously, we are also planning a capex close to 200 crores across various projects and business verticals. We believe these investments, together with our product development initiatives, will contribute meaningfully to the long-term growth and profitability of India operations. Going forward, our strategy remains clear: increase the share of value-added products, deepen relationships, and expand into new applications and markets to build sustainable growth for India business in the future. Thank you, everybody. I hand over this call to Ashish for explanation of financials.
Thank you, Manan. Good evening, everyone. I'll briefly take you through the financial performance for quarter one of 26-27. For quarter one, consolidated income from operations stood at rupees 1,616 crore compared to 1,356 crore in quarter one of 25-26. Representing year-on-year growth of approximately 19.2%. Reported EBITDA stood at 188.9 crore compared with 187.7 crore in quarter one of 25-26. Despite increasing revenue, EBITDA remained broadly stable because of higher fuel, marine logistics and other input costs as explained by Manan. EBITDA margin was approximately 11.7% for the quarter compared to 13.8% in corresponding same quarter of the last year. Profit before tax stood at rupees 130.03 crore compared to 131.84 during last year. Thus, PBT declined marginally, that is around 1.4% year on year. Earning per share stood at rupees 12.07 compared with 11.5 in quarter one of 25-26. From a business perspective, Guinea bauxite and iron ore business remains the largest contributor to the group. Guinea business reported turnover of approximately 1,360 crore, which is 84% of the consolidated turnover, and EBITDA of rupees 163 crore during the quarter. Our India business continued to perform well across all verticals. Overall, quarter one demonstrates healthy revenue growth, resilient EBITDA and strong operating scale despite temporary cost pressure. As we have already disclosed, our AGM is scheduled on September 29th and wish to meet you all on AGM through virtual call. Thank you everyone. I will now hand over the call. Now it will be open for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Diya Jain with Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. So can you update us all on the quota system? When can it be implemented, by which month of this year? And how do we see the realizations in coming quarters?
So, as mentioned on the call, we are awaiting further information on the government, but we most certainly expect it to come in before the end of this year. I think that the realizations may remain close to similar levels for time being until we have, I think, any kind of directional tailwind would probably come in from the quota system. Till then, we expect margins to remain closer to similar levels, and I guess that's pretty much the clarity what we have until the quota system. Freight remains elevated, so that remains a overhang on margins in the short term.
And one more question, sir. The 15 million ton target that we had for FY28, are we on track to achieve that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Mayuresh Rawat with Invest for ADO. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. I'm audible, sir?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, my first question is regarding on this quota system. So, during the last couple of quarters, sir, we have seen some player re-entering the market. And now the public company Nimba also talking about the selling of bauxite through the monthly tender, as was in the news recently. So how do you see the Asapura place amid this new development, sir?
So essentially, we believe that it's a new development, but it will take some time to materialize and should not have a significant impact on the overall market. I mean, Guinea exports close to 200 million tons, and they are talking about achieving 14 million tons after some period of time, which may take, we believe it, even that kind of a target may take little bit of time to achieve. So they are not going to significantly disrupt the market, and maybe most likely those quantities would be available to other traders or suppliers of bauxite to further export to China. So while that news is relevant, but we think it will not really change the overall demand supply scenario.
Okay, and sir, one second. Yes, sir.
Clarity, we can also participate in those tenders if we have the subsequent opportunity, like in terms of the customers and the viability. So it's we don't expect it to adversely affect the overall market.
Understood. And second question is, sir, on a past phone call, you have mentioned that you are also exploring opportunity in a nearby countries, including there was a possibility toward the rare earth minerals, sir. So you are, so any update on that, sir? Like in coming quarter, we can see any update on this new entry?
Asapura continues to explore opportunities with neighboring countries in Africa, but that list is not included to rare earth minerals as such, and we are still exploring. So while we are in communication, but we don't expect any material announcement in the short term.
Understood, sir. And sir, one more clarification I want. In your press release, you have mentioned about the bauxite washing capacity. So you have come with the 20,000 ton per day capacity. So I have a two clarification on this one, sir. So how much it will impact on a EBITDA, sir? Like how much our EBITDA will increase in terms of the number, like? And the second one, sir, if you wanted to scale this 20,000 to, for example, 40,000 or 60,000, so how much time it will take and what will be our cost to expand this thing, sir?
I think the fundamental purpose of bauxite washing plant might be EBITDA neutral, but it definitely helps us to increase our total volume and throughput which we can do from a particular location, because it makes the more low-grade resources into high-grade and exportable resources. So it would help us with our throughput, and in case of a situation like currently, as we see that the bauxite prices are subdued, it helps us to enhance our quality and get a premium in tougher markets. The objective of this plant is more on a sustainability perspective. As we have put up the 20,000 tons kind of capacity in a short period of time, if there is an adequate demand and viability of this project, it would not be very difficult for us to expand it in a similar model. Maybe if we have decided to get on this project, it may take us a period of approximately 1 year. If we decide to expand it further, the time period to implement this kind of a plant would be 1 year. But the purpose of this plant is more on a sustainability and cost mitigation side.
Understood, sir. Just one clarification on the similar question, sir. As you mentioned, our quality will increase, and also on you said on the cost saving basis. So might be it will help us also to increase our EBITDA in terms of the number, if you can quantify anything.
So like I mentioned that, yes, you are right that the quality will improve and the premium will increase. But typically what happens is that then more resource also gets depleted in increasing the quality. There would be more rejection, etc. So I mean, I would not comment on a specific EBITDA increase. And in any case, it is a smaller part of our total export volume currently. As of now, I would still encourage to think of this more on a sustainability side than on an EBITDA side. So no comment on EBITDA margin, but it would definitely help us to sustain the current EBITDA in this kind of a difficult situation. This kind of role is how we see this beneficiation plant.
Got it, sir. Thank you, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Milandeep Jain with Green Portfolios. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. My first question is around the Bokaport capacity expansion.
Milandeep, I'm really sorry, but your voice is muffling. Can you check, please?
Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah. So my first question is around the Bokaport capacity. I want to understand that in Q4 FY26, the plan for expansion was from 580 to 1090 by Q2 FY27. So as per latest disclosure, we achieved 890. So is there any forward plan of adding additional capacity to make it till 10 in Q2 or later?
No. So currently, we have commissioned up to 8 million tons, which we think is a reasonable capacity for the short term. Now, in this to expand the capacity further, let's say to 10 million or 12 million tons, may not have a significant timeline, but we may do that as the volumes ramp up. Currently, our total exporting capacity of bauxite stands at 18 million tons, so we are comfortable with the current capacity. But we do have the ability to expand this capacity further, and we will take a call on it subsequently.
Okay, sir. My second question was about what kind of terms or agreement do we have with the China Railway that is helping us with the development of the FACO bauxite deposit of around 230 million tons in Genoa, which is basically also connected through the third port of Kuantan with 590 capacity. Can you share some color on it?
So that was a kind of more like a MOU. We are still studying the details and how to make it operational. But currently, there is not much progress to report on FACO mines. Maybe around next year, maybe we may have something to report on that. But currently, it is still in a development phase.
Okay, sir. So now, last question was around, can you share an update on the development of value-added grades of xenotime for oil and gas and farming application, basically, which was updated, update was shared in the last quarter?
Sure. So within the bentonite and allied minerals division, and I highlighted in my speech also that our core focus really remains on growing by value addition. We have very much selected products which are difficult to manufacture in India or imported. So we have that kind of basis. This includes specifically a lot of grades for foundry, including kind of what we call as a heat-resistant grades also. its ability, like there are several projects in bentonite, not just to spanning to foundry, but related to oil and gas, as you mentioned. And then also there are other divisions also, like iron ore pelletizing, where there are the several interesting innovations coming by Ashapura, which are all kind of in a piloting to commercialization stage. I would like to say that over a medium term, if we consider 3 years, we expect that, you know, most or more than half of our current EBITDAs or most of our EBITDAs would be coming from the value-added products, and that's the kind of vision what we have set up. But individually to explain each of the products might be difficult, but we are very focused on the value-added products, and we are in quite advanced stages with most of them as far as customer trials or modifications, etc. are concerned.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. That's all from my side. All the very best.
Yeah. I just also want to reiterate that we have the world's largest bentonite grinding capacity within our group. We are having over 1 million tons of grinding capacity. So now it is really a question of value addition and technology, how we can leverage our existing infrastructure for more and more premium products, you know, solutioning and, you know, kind of a win-win partnerships with the customer. So that's really what our focus is. But having this infrastructure means that that it will not take us a long time to commercialize.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Devasha, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question was that regarding in this quarter, we did a volume of around 2.3 million tons, which was sequentially down 26%. And if I recall correctly, then we were expecting a higher number considering our guidance for the year of around 10 to 12 million tons and a revenue of at least $700 million. So do you think that we are going to miss that target now? Or you see any possibility that we will be getting better sequentially in coming quarters, considering that in Q1 we must have been having an impact regarding the ship's availability and higher ocean freight along with lower bauxite prices?
So, you are aware that typically quarter two is a weak quarter and it picks up from quarter three and then improves towards quarter four and one. As already has been mentioned on this call, that and quarter one was lower than the previous quarter because of particularly challenges regarding to ocean freight and, you know, being competitive with very high elevated freights and limited availability of vessels. And basically regarding to our target of 10 million tons, we have added that, okay, maybe there may be a 10% variance into this target. So as mentioned on the call, so there may be a 10% variance. Only we are headed in the direction which we have planned for this year and the coming year.
Okay, sir. So also if you can quantify the revenue from iron during the quarter, because it would be easier for us to analyze the results.
Actually, the reason why we are not doing that is it is in a trial production stage and so the revenues are fairly low. But what our intention is that once we build a long-term roadmap, we would be able to comment more accurately on the revenue as well as the long-term guidance on iron ore, and companies working towards achieving the same. The EBITDA, okay, which has been shared into the by the management is totally based on the bauxite business. So so the iron ore earnings are separate from that. So the EBITDA is not sort of mashed in with both. The EBITDA which we have shared in our releases is strictly belonging to the bauxite business.
Okay, sir. And since the bauxite prices have stabilized about $70, so you think we can improve our EBITDA per ton substantially from $6 in the recent quarters to back to the original numbers in the subsequent quarters?
So currently the prices have increased on the back of elevated freight. The Chinese index prices are around 72, but they are kind of a combination of the FOB Guinea price as well as the freight from Guinea to China. So the increase what we have seen from around 61 or so to 72 is predominantly on the back of ocean freight. So we expect that EBITDA will remain in similar levels for the time being until the freight situation improves. So in the very short term, we would think that EBITDA levels would remain here. We have to watch for either a more stable geopolitical situation which can help to reduce the freight rates, or we have to wait for the quota system or some other developments. But as of now, the visibility what we have is that the maintaining this EBITDA would be a pretty good performance.
Okay, sir. And so can you give us some color for the scope of growth and profitability over the next couple of years, like some visibility?
So I think the basic point which we have highlighted before is that 15 million tons is what we aim to, you know, achieve or exceed. So even picking that as a baseline kind of number for the next financial year, we've been saying that around, you know, almost about $1 billion of sales we are expecting from bauxite as per the company's plan, and our infrastructure, partnerships and even customers are lined up. Once we have and even the port expansions are mostly done. So once we are, you know, once we see that the situation to become a little more benign, currently the global situation is quite hostile for this commodity trade, it becomes a little benign, so we should be able to achieve that target, which means that almost close to 10,000 crores may come from bauxite alone, which would be a phenomenal growth even from our current revenue perspective. The India businesses are like obviously, you know, quite small compared to the total business of Ashapura Group, but we expect on the back of the value-added business over a couple of years, EBITDA to, you know, in terms of the total value of EBITDA to improve, you know, gradually but sustainably over the next couple of years. You know, even the Indian EBITDAs have been obviously hit seriously by higher freight, higher input costs and totally disrupted logistics. As we are in the field of materials, logistics is a huge part of our total cost and revenue. So, despite that, we are able to maintain our revenues, and in a little benign situation and with the coming up of our new products, we are very optimistic about the value addition our Indian products would bring, and we expect that to reflect materially in the EBITDAs over a medium term. So all in all, we are quite optimistic over a medium term for both our major business verticals on mineral and on value added side. But currently there are obviously lot of disruptions and they have impacted the industry and us also.
Okay, sir. Yeah, completely understand. That was quite helpful. Thank you for answering all my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nalin Shah with NVS Brokerage. Please go ahead. Nalin, you may please proceed ahead with your question.
Yeah, good afternoon, and I would like to congratulate the Ashapura team that in spite of the West Asia crisis, there has been a wonderful performance for the Q1. Barring some slight margin issue. So, sir, that gives us a good perspective. And the current year, I think our target is about 12 million tons. That's what we had in the meeting, beginning you had fixed the target. Assuming if this is to be achieved, and it will be achieved, so around 9.5 million tons. So each of the remaining quarters, do we feel first is whether we can do 3 million tons on an average about 3.1 million tons exports? That was my first question. Second, my question is that how do you see now post-June, that is July, August, how do you see the situation on the your freight cost? And whether, you know, I mean, things are started little, you know, I mean, settling down in a positive manner for us to handle the situation. And thirdly, what is the difference it has made? What is the kind of investment we have made? And the difference it will make that washery which we have set up So if you can give us some idea on that.
Thank you, Nalin bhai. So first, to answer the question on the freight, in quarter two, freight still remain very, very elevated compared to the normal, what we consider the normal levels, and as a percentage of the CIF cost, freight remains elevated, and this remains a challenge for us. And as I mentioned earlier on the call, it is in these situations that washing plants can help us to pull out a more premium grade, etc., which can help us to maintain EBITDA in this kind of a tough challenges. But like the washing plant remains more on the sustainability side as far as the volumes and the quality is concerned. Regarding to what we expect for this financial year, as you are aware that Q2 is typically the weakest quarter for us, and most of our growth will come in, or most of our sales will come in towards the end of Q3 and in Q4. So with respect to the, you will see a similar kind of trend what we have seen last year in terms of how the numbers vary. As mentioned that we have given a target of 10 to 12 and we expect maybe there may be a 10% variance into this target. So we can consider like a 9 to 11 kind of a range. But we are still, we are very optimistic that if things is to improve even a little bit, then we can achieve our original targets or even do better. It's now we are kind of operating with a focus on profitability until the times are improved, then we can really focus on pushing the volumes. So we're consciously taking a call to focus on profitability while this disrupted situation remains, but we have the all infrastructure and customers and everything in place. Once the things improves, and if they improve, then we have a ability to really do well in the quarter 3 and 4. So we have a capability with us. We are waiting for the some external situations to improve. So we are still optimistic and positive about achieving our targets, but just need little bit tailwind, you know, as far as the macro situation is concerned.
Okay. So what is the investment on the washery? Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Haji.
Yeah, so washery investment will not be reflecting on our balance sheet as it's on a kind of operate and transfer kind of model. So, but if you were to install this kind of a washery, it would be in the tune of $15 million.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much and all the best for the remaining part of this year and the future years. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address all the questions from the participant, we kindly request you to limit your question to one or two questions per participant. If you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Our next question comes from the line of Prakhar with Anand Rathi Institutional Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hello. Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Just wanted to check over the EBITDA. Pertain, how much are we expecting for the Q2 and FY27 and 28?
I would estimate, like I mentioned, similar to what we have achieved for the time being. Coming in the future, as we said, we expect that two things should improve. One is the macro situation with the elevated freights and the unavailability of vessels. We expect this to improve, and we expect a quota system to come in Guinea by end of the year or so, which can help us to, there will be a limited supply of bauxite, which will reduce the freight as well as improve the Ex Works realization. So we expect EBITDA to improve significantly from now, maybe in the next calendar year. At least this is our expectation. So today's EBITDAs are currently in very short term would be a good benchmark for the near term, whatever we have achieved in quarter one. Probably by the end of the year or into the next year, we expect things to improve, that freights will normalize and the curtailed supply situation should help the miners like Ashapura?
Let's assuming the situation is improving, so will it be possible for you to quantify some number? As in Q1, you have mentioned about $6.3 per ton we made in Q1, and in Q4, as there was a $5.9 per ton. After this freight charges and West Asia crisis, you still able to improve your EBITDA in Q1. Do we see, do you like, and would you able to quantify something for FY27 or 28?
So, I mean, I would ideally not like to speculate too much on that, but like I feel that in the next one or two quarters, it should remain closer to what we have achieved. So around $6 or $5.5 to $6 would be a reasonable, you know, expectation. But again, you know, the situation is very volatile. So I would take that also with little bit pinch of salt. But we do expect that the, you know, going forward, you know, Q3 towards the end, and then Q4 maybe, I mean, we are optimistic, you know, earlier we used to operate at around closer to $10. So we are optimistic that maybe, I cannot predict the timeline, but we do think that at least closer to that is what we see the normal run rate for this, if you think next couple of years or little more than that. Right now, I think that a good sign for us is that this is, in our opinion, a very extreme situation. Still, we are positive EBITDA and we are able to maintain few dollars. So we expect the cycle to turn. So at least we should able to achieve over a medium to longer term, closer to the EBITDA we were achieving earlier, which was near $10. Now, whether that pickup happens in a one quarter or over three quarters is anyone's guess. But I mean, we are optimistic that this will not be the long term realization for the business. Now we have to see that how the situations turn out, but we are optimistic that it should pick up closer to original levels once couple of challenges are sorted out.
Okay, got that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Prina Shah with KSA Shares and Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I just had a couple of questions regarding the India bentonite and white performance materials. So, sir, that franchise has been consistent contributor to the growth, and we just like to understand where the next leg of growth comes from, and which value-added products categories versus the commodity-grade bentonite do you see as the biggest growth driver over the next few years?
Okay, so there is a whole host of value-added initiatives which we are engaging in. I mean, I can share the industries, and all of these are going to be significant for us. Today, our you know, bentonite business has a large scope to grow, as we are majorly in lower value segments and getting into higher value segments. So, for example, we have a good plans for the catalytic. We have a good plans for foundry. We have a, in oil and gas, we are doing quite well. And in all of these, you know, company is blessed that the mine, the port, the plant, and is so strategically located for these premium products, we can unlock a good part of the world and not just the domestic sales, which is also contributing. So these are just some of the segments, you know, with our kaolin business, we are increasing our focus significantly for the paper industries, which is currently consuming imported products. We are improving our focus on the premium products in paint industry. I don't know how many of you are aware, but kaolin is used traditionally in the industry to replace titanium dioxide, which is much more costly. As we improve the grades of kaolin further, the usage of titanium dioxide drops, and so does the cost of paint, because titanium dioxide is significantly 3 to 4 times more expensive. So this premium segment is what we are trying to develop for the company. These are all very exciting initiatives, but you know, they have a serious and genuine value additions which take, you know, few quarters or couple of financial years to play out. But we are very excited over a couple of years that a lot of these products will contribute meaningfully to company and also reduce some of the imports or dependency for our customers. It's quite exciting, and it is across the range of industries, not just on one industry we are banking on.
Right. Thank you so much, sir, for the detailed explanation. So I have one more question on the Orient Ceratex contribution to our segment EBITDA. So that has more than doubled. So what specifically is driving that? Any new product categories or customer wins in the Orient Ceratex that we see?
Great. So basically there are two things. One of Orient's main products goes into oil and gas industry, which is well, in some ways they are doing quite well because of the elevated prices and there is a focus to increase the production. So we have some improvement in demand there, and we have also done a little bit of debottlenecking so that we can make that additional supply. So, and that's a reasonably decent product for us. Another area is that we are making some of the materials for the steel industry, that products are also doing very well, where we are replacing international companies with our product, and that is also a premium product for us. So couple of segments are really picking up for Orient, and also the core business, which is of making ceramic raw materials for the industry. This business is also doing little bit better than what it was doing before. So it's a mix of things, but it is involving our new products and also some improvement in demand of our traditional products, I would say. It's going through a good patch and, you know, good developments as well as better than previous market conditions.
Right. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for the detailed explanation, and all the best for future quarters. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to the time constraint, we shall close the call. For further questions, please get in touch with the company's investor relations team. For the closing remarks, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manan Shah. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
First of all, would like to thank all of you for being with us. We have seen some challenges in the past couple of quarters, but the important thing from our point of view is we are convinced about the long-term prospects of both our Guinea and our India business. We remain firmly in place as far as Guinea is concerned with our operational and execution capabilities, and in India over medium term our ability to add significant and serious value to our current product portfolio, and we are confident that these things will eventually translate to a stronger and bigger company in the medium future. And we appreciate your patience and your interest. Thank you so much, and looking forward to meeting you all again on the next call or on the AGM. So thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Ashapura Mindchem Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.